Today, it is by faith Noah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Noah. And thank you that he found grace in your eyes. As we observe his life today, help us to see something in him that will help us live in your grace a little more effectively. I pray for your help as we go through this study today, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A person who lives by faith understands where he came from and why a change took place in his life. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, it tells us where we came from. When it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's where we came from. And where has faith brought us? Verse 4 in Titus chapter 3, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Noah came from a corrupt world. He knew that. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And thus, by faith, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We're told that in Romans chapter 3, that righteousness comes by faith. So, in Genesis chapter 6, all mankind was corrupt. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, "The earth also was corrupt before God." Noah knew where he came from. And I think that made such a huge difference in his life, that when God told him to do something rather spectacular that in human sense didn't make sense, he was willing to do it by faith. Genesis chapter 6, please. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood actually started. It tells us that in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 6. So he's 480 years when God speaks to him, 480 years old. And we can figure out that from the moment of creation, this is the year 1536, when God is speaking to Noah 120 years before the flood. You do that by adding up the years that so-and-so lived until he had such-and-such son, etc., etc. Now, in this year 1536, Adam had already died, Seth had died, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, they're all passed away. Enoch walked with God, he's gone. But Methuselah, Noah's grandfather, is still living, and his father Lamech is still living in this year, 1536, when Noah has this conversation with God. Did you ever wonder how many people were living on the earth at the time? If Adam and Eve had only 6 children, and every couple in each succeeding generation had 6 children, by the year 1536, there would be about 120,000 people on the earth. Now, if they had 8 children each, you go up to 2 million people. If they had 10 children each, you go up to 20 million people. What is the likelihood that there were as many as 20 million people living by the time the flood took place? That's a lot of people. And they were obviously all living at the same place. No indication they had scattered anywhere. And by the way, I happen to believe that all of the continents were connected at this time, that there was a great continental shift in the flood, which separated the continents. And so you have one large land mass in the middle of the ocean. And so all of the people are living there. That's a lot of people. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, Noah only had 3 children. Well, Noah had 3 believing children. Did he have of others that were not believing? We don't know that. It tells us in this verse, verse 3, that mankind was flesh. Sorry, get that out of my throat. Flesh is a moral term, even in this case. It's not suggesting to us that they were merely physical human beings, but they were immorally indulged in interests and temptations of the flesh. Which, if you compare Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the works of the flesh, that would give us a hint as to the kind of behaviors that were taking place here in the time of Noah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, which is the violation of the marriage covenant; fornication, violation of God's order of morality; uncleanness, resulting condition after adultery and fornication; lasciviousness, a total disregard for rules and a total lack of restraint. I warn you, this might happen. Idolatry, trusting in something other than God; witchcraft, submitting to the influence of devils; hatred, heat that comes from human conflict; variance, an argument rooted in intolerance; emulations, the I can do it better than you syndrome; wrath, external expression of anger; strife, taking sides and making a contest out of everything; seditions, opposing the accepted way of doing things; heresies, opposition to the truth; envyings, resenting others' success and holding a grudge; murders, the ultimate desire to destroy life; drunkenness, intoxication and being under the power of alcohol; revelings, excessive partying, and such like. These are undoubtedly the kinds of things that are taking place in the world. Excessively, the whole world was wicked. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The wickedness, Their behavior was bad, with an implied effect upon others, like the effect of secondhand smoke. Any of you ever have to deal with that? I grew up with that. And part of the reason I have these respiratory issues throughout my life, maybe not all of the people were as bad as some of the others, but they were all feeling the effects of it. And they were corrupt. Verse 11 in Genesis chapter 6. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It was spoiled, it decayed. They were so bad, so corrupt, that they were spoiling everyone and everything around them. Mankind was full of evil imaginations in verse 5. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. People on the earth at that time never had a righteous thought in their head. They only thought bad things all the time. And then there was violence, which is understandable with all of the other characteristics we've noted. Verse 11, the earth was filled with violence. All kinds of violence. They used injurious language. They treated one another harshly. They were noisy. They were wild. They were ruthless. And their behavior was intentionally destructive. In the midst of all of this, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I want you to notice in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now that's interesting. Actually, the grace of God teaches us to be obedient to God. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, which was all around Noah at the time, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord is the same grace that is referred to in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The grace of God was teaching Noah to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to deny the wickedness and the corruption of the world around him, and to be obedient unto the Lord. That's what the grace of God was doing for him. The grace of God taught Noah to live soberly, righteously, and godly, in deep contrast to the corruption that was all around him. So instead of living wickedly, Noah lived righteously. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What a contrast. Among so many people, let's say it's the minimum number, 120,000 people is a lot of people, right? Have you ever been in the midst of 120,000 people? That's a lot of people. Some of these footballs, I don't even think Penn State football stadium holds 120,000. Pretty close, maybe. It's rare occasions we get that many people together in one place, even today. Noah's in the midst of all of these people who are wicked and corrupt, and he's living righteously. And he had an effect on other people's lives. If you make note of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, on the one hand, to the saving of his house, and on the other hand, by the which he condemned the world. By preaching righteousness, he showed the world what was right in contrast to the way they were. And by their rejecting what he preached, they were condemned. John chapter 3, verse 7, he that believeth not is condemned already. Instead of being violent, Noah moved with fear. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. People on the earth at the time that Noah lived stopped being afraid of God. That was part of their problem. A few hundred years before Noah was approached by God to build the ark, there was a man by the name of Lamech. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, in the same generation as Enoch. And Lamech, remember, married the two wives and killed a man. And Lamech lived in fear because of the wickedness that he had done. But now we've come a few hundred years later, and people have become so hardened to the wickedness and corruption of their world that they're no longer afraid of God. And that's why the earth was filled with violence. They were getting away with it. How many people today think they're getting away with their wickedness? Word of caution. Noah's faith made him a cautious man. He carefully thought about everything he did, whether it would please the Lord or not. His faith meant that he understood that God was capable of some great things. And because he respected that in God, he would rather obey God than submit to his wrath. Exactly the opposite of the rest of the world of his time. They had so little respect for God, they were not at all afraid of any consequences for their sins. But for Noah, it was because of his faith that he prepared the ark. That's what we're told in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What were those things that were not seen as yet? I might make some suggestions to you in a moment. But that's an interesting statement. There are some things about to happen that man has never yet seen. He moved with fear, prepared an ark. Were there any boats in Noah's time? Now we know that there were rivers. At least in the Garden of Eden, there were rivers back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. We're told about four rivers. Three of them are named, River Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates, all in the Garden of Eden. Don't know that that's the same Euphrates as we would see later on. But what we don't know if there were any lakes. If all of the continents were massed together, there could have been. We just don't know. They hadn't been given meat yet as a diet, so would they have fished? And was there any rain before the flood? Now, in the Garden of Eden, once again, it tells us very specifically that there was no rain in the Garden of Eden. It says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Rather, there was a dew, a heavy dew that came every night, and it was sufficient to water all the plants and everything and keep things fine. Now, rain is not mentioned again until the flood starts. Can we surmise from that that this is one of the things that man had never yet seen? Never yet seen rain? Never yet seen a boat? Let alone one so large. How many have been to the Ark in Kentucky? A couple of you. I would recommend it. It's quite exciting to see. Now, they used a cubit of 20.4 inches, which is, it's reasonable. I usually refer to a cubit as 18 inches because it's easy to multiply that out. 20.4 inches is a little harder to multiply. But it's reasonable to use that. That makes their ark 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. They used 1,000 craftsmen to build that ark with modern technology. Now, if that was the size of Noah's ark, and he only had his three sons to help and did not have modern technology to build it, how did he do it? I guess that's why it took 120 years. But it never indicates he built it next to a lake. He built it in the midst of dry land. Can you imagine the jeers and funny looks and critical comments that he received while he's building this monstrous structure? What is it, Noah? It's a boat. What's a boat? What are you going to use it for? It's going to float on water. Yeah, right. Where's the water? We know he did it, but here's the question. Why did he do it? If there was no rain, no boats. Even if there were boats, you would have built a boat near the water. And you'd have to have a pretty big lake for a boat this size. Why did he do it? Simply for this reason. God told him to do it. That's all it took. God told him to do it. Is your faith in God strong enough that all he has to do is say, do this, and you do it? Now, before you answer, let me caution you. There are a lot of things that God tells us to do in the Bible. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He says, honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not covet. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Visit the fatherless and widows. He tells us a lot of things. Do you do all of those things? Do you do all of the things God tells us to do in the Bible? because your faith is that strong, all God has to say is, do this, and you do it. That was Noah's faith. Instead of thinking evil, Noah preached righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us this. Spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Not only did he live it, he preached it. For 120 years, while building the ark, Noah preached the gospel to those who obviously, curiously observed him. And he told them that righteousness comes by faith. Unfortunately, no one outside of Noah's family cared to be righteous. By faith, Noah was a changed man. He was part of a corrupt humanity, but he placed his faith in God and God's message. And the grace of God changed him from obeying the flesh to obeying God, from wicked behavior to righteous living, from thinking evil to preaching righteousness, from violent behavior to a fearful reverence for God. By his faith, he became obedient to God. God said, do this, and Noah did it. It didn't matter that it didn't make sense. Rain enough, the flood, the entire earth. Even if it did rain enough in order to flood the entire earth, rain enough that the earth would be filled with so much water that this monstrous structure that he has built will be lifted up and carried on top of the water. Nobody had ever seen anything like that before. Noah had never seen anything like that before. Can it be? Well, God said it. That's enough. Is that enough for you? Jesus is coming again. Do you believe it? God said it. It ought to be enough. By faith, Noah stood against an unbelieving world, preaching the truth day after day, year after year, and even though no one outside of his family believed, he never gave up. He was faithful to God every day for 120 years. Can you say, by faith, the grace of God has truly changed your life? Can you say that by faith you are ready to obey God's every command, whether it makes sense or not? Can you say that by faith you are ready to preach the gospel to an unbelieving world? That's what the grace of God did for Noah. It's what the grace of God should be doing for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that is so sufficient. It can change our lives. It can make us obedient servants. And it can turn us into preachers of righteousness, just like Noah. I don't know if our world is quite as wicked as Noah's world was, but Lord, it seems like it's moving in that direction so rapidly. Help us to be like Noah. willing to stand alone if necessary in contrast to the world. And let your grace make us your servants. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.